This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's also you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
The Large Neutron Collider podcast is a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to the Large Neutron Collider podcast, the podcast that's all about the geeky things happening in the world around us and how very excited we are about them. I am Ariel Kasten, and with me as always is Get Off My Lawn, Jonathan Strickland.
Hey! Hey, Ariel, I got a question for you.
Okay, Ariel, here is your, it's more of a scenario, as a lot of these turn out to be. But here is your question. You have been given a quest to carry a powerful magical artifact a very long way and throw it into some sort of dangerous natural phenomenon. Let's say it's a volcano. What okay. form does this artifact take for you?
Well, it couldn't be a ham sandwich because I'd eat it.
Yeah, it can only be unmade in the volcano of, I don't know, let's call it Fordor.
You see, I feel like even though you're alluding to Lord of the Rings, that I want to say Meg Ryan.
You want to throw Meg Ryan into a volcano?
Because I watched Joe versus the volcano recently, but she also wouldn't be a artifact.
Yeah, that's actually objectifying Meg Ryan, literally.
Which is not okay. So my artifact would be something big enough that I wouldn't lose it, but small enough that it's not a pain to carry. Probably an old Nokia cell phone, like one of the old brick kinds.
That's amazing, because my answer, and I'm not kidding you, the answer I came up with was, it would be a remote control for something where I don't remember what the remote control goes to. I can't seem to get it to work with any of my current technology. So I just want it out of my life.
Yeah. I mean, I have a bunch of old Nokia phones sitting in my closet because I can't seem to get rid of them. And it would give me one last chance to, like, whip out my fancy Nokia hip holster thing.
I think what this tells us is that it is really hard to recycle electronics in a responsible way.
Yes.
Well, that is in the past now. Question has been asked and answered. We are now ready to move on to some news items.
Our first news item is this week-ish. It came out that Netflix bought the sequels, the second and third sequel for Knives Out.
Yeah, for like $400 million.
Yes, and Daniel Craig and director Rian Johnson will be back for it.
Yep.
I would imagine they would have to have, you know, some modicum of different characters since the last story has already been solved.
Yeah, I imagine, like, I don't know for a fact, but I would think that they would have each of these be really episodic, standalone stories, kind of like how Columbo was just a series of different mysteries whenever there was another Columbo special. But this really has me excited because, one, I have Netflix, and two, I really like Knives Out.
Yeah, I do too. I could take or leave Daniel Craig's accent.
Oh, I loved it. I loved every second of that fake accent.
But it kind of went all around. I kind of want the third one to reveal that he's not actually random
Southern,
ambiguous Southern. Yeah, I was going to say
Louisiana,
but sometimes it went to Virginian, but sometimes it went to Georgian. It was just,
I mean, to be fair, it's kind of like listening to an American do an English accent. That Americans doing English accents wander all over the British Isles, sometimes taking a nice stay in Ireland.
Yes, yes. I really like Knives Out. They think of so many tiny details throughout the filmography of it and the videography of it that I found it appealing from beginning to end, acting to technical.
I will say that it has the one downfall in that the person I thought who did it. And I was pretty convinced very early on in the film about what, not specifically what happened, but who was responsible. I had a very strong suspicion, and the fact that my suspicion turned out to be accurate kind of disappointed me because I was sort of hoping that I was on the wrong track. But I mean, the details delighted me. So it's kind of sour grapes to complain.
Something else that the details delighted you on was the trailer for Loki.
Yeah.
Which I am so very, very, very excited for this show. So Disney released a trailer for Loki, as we said, April 5th, I believe. And it's just so much fun. And Jonathan immediately was like, did you see the Renaissance Festival in it? And I didn't, despite watching it through two times.
It's literally a blink and you miss it moment. If you're looking at the trailer around the 1 minute, 14 second mark after Loki says, do I get a weapon? And he's told, nope. They pass through a gate. And the next blink and you miss it scene shows the opening gate area of the Georgia Renaissance Festival. It's literally what you would be looking at if you had just walked through the entrance, because there's a kiosk where we put maps and you can see the M for the maps there. So I got excited because I was like, there's going to be a scene presumably at a Renaissance Festival. Cause I think there were people in the background dressed in current day clothing. So it would tell you that it's not like he didn't travel back to a really cheap version of medieval England. it's a Renaissance Festival, but also like there's sequences, the timekeepers, their headquarters is in, the building that they're in is the Marriott Marquis in downtown Atlanta, which is one of the big hotels that is used by Dragon Con. And anyone who's ever seen
and used in like every movie ever.
Yeah, because it has like people have said the interior of that hotel is science fiction. It's that weird, it looks almost like a rib cage of an alien with elevators going up inside of it. So yeah, a lot of the delight I got was from the fact that I was recognizing locations. It's the same sort of feeling I get when I watch The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and I find out that if you go through the Krog Street Tunnel, which is just down the street from my house, you end up in Madripoor. That kind of stuff delights me. But beyond that, it just looks like it's going to be a fun series. And I will not take this opportunity to rant about the problems I had with episode 3 of The Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
You should not do that. I'm enjoying Falcon and the Winter Soldier, but I am definitely more looking forward to Loki. It looks like it will be a balance of fun and an action like WandaVision was. Maybe a little bit more action.
I really like how things are going with these mini series. I feel like they're really hitting their stride. It kind of makes me wish that Agent Carter had held off until now, because I have a feeling that now Agent Carter would really succeed, whereas it kind of fizzled out after a season and a half when it first came out. And that's a shame because it was entertaining.
It was entertaining for me. I don't know. It was something about the effects or something about it the first time around. The story was good, but something about the show just didn't grab me.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that if they put the same oomph behind it now that they're putting behind these miniseries, I agree that I think it would take off. It had, at least among our friends, a large following and fan base. Something else that has a large following and fan base among our friends is Star Trek.
Yeah. I mean, my parents wrote books for the series, so I kind of inherited it. Yeah. Ariel, you found this great story about how the second season of Picard is set in motion. It's going to be on Paramount Plus because CBS All Access is no longer a thing. And also, it's going to have the return of a beloved antagonist from Star Trek The Next Generation.
Yes, Q, played by John DeLancey, who is this beyond time and space kind of being with magical powers. I don't want to say magical. That's not right.
It's kind of
powers.
Right. It's effectively right. I mean, there's no in-universe good explanation for how he does what he does. And he's in many ways similar to Loki. So it's good to have these stories back to back.
Yeah, I was going to say he's pretty much Federation Loki.
Yeah.
I was going to say Space Loki, but Loki is Space Loki.
That's true.
But I just, throughout The Next Generation, he was one of my favorite characters, because when Q showed up, you had no idea where the story was going to go or what was going to happen. He was all about the mischief. And I love Loki, too. Loki's one of my favorite MCU characters.
Yeah. My favorite Q line was to Worf, where he said, "Eat any good books lately?" Which is one of my, and I also really love the episode where he turns mortal. His powers are removed from him, and he has to adjust to what it is to be mortal, and everything just disgusts and horrifies him. It's a fantastic episode. I do wonder how he's going to fit into Picard, which has a very, very different tone from Star Trek The Next Generation. And it fills me with a little bit of anxiety that they might go like more grim and dark with him, which I think would be a mistake.
Yeah, the little teaser that we've got seems like there's at least some tongue-in-cheek in there. So I'm hopeful that they'll treat his character right. Just like I was hopeful, and it seems to be so, that this new Mortal Kombat movie will be treated right.
Yeah, great segue.
I was struggling. So Mortal Kombat announced that it was pushing back its release date on HBO Max and in theaters 1 week, from April 16th to April 23rd. Probably just to give Godzilla versus Kong a little bit more time to make money, because Godzilla versus Kong is doing really well in the box office right now, considering the pandemic.
Yes, I'm glad you put the qualifier in there, because it wasn't long ago when a $50 million weekend would have been seen as a colossal failure.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's made $121 million internationally so far, at least as of March 30th, so probably a little bit more by now. But in the meantime, Mortal Kombat gave us this little featurette that kind of let us meet the characters of the movie and learn a little bit of the behind the scenes. And I am very excited, because they have said that they really wanted to make sure that the actors could do all of the the martial arts moves.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want it to all be CGI, and that excites me. I'm a little bit less excited by the fact that they want it to be pretty brutal, but that's not a total surprise.
Mm-hmm.
But all in all, I'll say this featurette does make me more excited to watch the movie than I previously was. What about you, Jonathan?
I remain uncommitted, I think. I think I'm just past the point where Mortal Kombat has a huge appeal for me. Back when it first came out, I enjoyed the game, and I enjoyed the first movie, as cheesy as it was. But I don't know. I think it's just part of me is sitting there thinking, like, cobbling together a good script from the various video game narratives. It makes me wonder what the focus is going to be. And is it just going to be a movie where everyone's got their own little subplot, the kind of the way it does in the game? And if so, how do you put those together in a way that makes a satisfying story without just dropping some of those storylines like partway through? And we know that there's stuff like that going on because there's beef between Sub-Zero and Scorpion, for example. Mm-hmm. There's beef between Sonya and Kano. So, and we know that some of that's going to play out. I just don't know to what extent. I'm also hopeful that by the time it actually comes out that the effects look a little bit better, because Kano's eye laser is still kind of cheesy.
Yeah, Kano's eye laser is kind of cheesy, but I like some of the other effects. Anything with Sub-Zero looks really cool so far.
Well, it would have to. He's Sub-Zero. Has to look cool.
Ha! I see what you did. Uh-huh. We do know a little bit about the story, that it's a new fighter, Cole Young, who has mysterious... I'm just breezing right past that because it was so bad.
Mm.
So bad it was good. Mm-hmm. No, he's got connections to the Mortal Kombat tournament. And so
he's,
to me,
he's at least got a Mortal Kombat birthmark.
Yes. I think it's going to be kind of like Wizard of Ozzy.
Like Ozzy Osbourne. I'm down with that.
Like he's Dorothy and he gets pulled to this tournament and meets friends along the way.
I don't really understand the need to introduce a new character. I mean, it just means that you had even more story that you have to add to this on top of all the other characters that you're hoping to incorporate. But maybe it's just to have somebody like blank slate, so that you're not going into something where all the fanboys out there will say, that's not how it happened in the game, therefore this movie is, you know, total BS. Whereas I'm like, it's a game. We can't really treat the canon as being sacred or anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're sorry to all of the Mortal Kombat fans who just got very upset at Jonathan.
Yeah, well, just make sure you don't do a fatality on me.
Another thing that you're not super excited about, mainly because you've never watched the first one, is the new Space Jam movie, right?
You are correct. I have never seen Space Jam. So Space Jam came out when I was already in my 20s. So I didn't have any real desire to see it. It didn't appeal to me. I don't have kids, so I'm not into basketball. So like the only hook it had for me is that I did watch Looney Tunes a lot when I was a kid. And I appreciate the Looney Tunes cartoons. I just didn't have a desire to see them in that context. However, now we've got the sequel. The trailers are out. And Ariel, you described it in a way that now pretty much everybody else is describing it. How did you describe the sequel to Space Jam?
Yes. The moment that I watched the trailer, I was like, well, this is just Ready Player One, but for kids. And I will admit that's largely because Iron Giant was featured in Ready Player One and is featured in this one.
Right.
But then after I said that, my husband sent me an article from Gizmodo that had come out afterwards saying, hey, the new Space Jam trailer looks like Ready Player One.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I am on the pulse of children's media.
Whatever dimension that this story is taking place in ends up having, oddly enough, all the Warner Brothers villains as courtside attendees for the game with the Looney Tunes characters and LeBron against the, I forget what they called the bad guy squad. But anyway,
the goons.
Yes, the goons. But like the Clockwork Orange droogs are right there courtside. Mm-hmm. I saw them in one shot. The Tim Burton version of Joker and the Tim Burton version of the Penguin are both there, because I went frame by frame and looked at all the different characters I could spot and just saw there was a character that looked like the leader of the White Walkers from the Game of Thrones series. So, like I said, I went frame by frame and I said, this is weird to have the Pennywise from the latest It films is in there. I was like, this, it's weird to see these characters who are very much not part of family friendly entertainment being included in a, you know, a film that's made presumably for kids, or maybe it's just made for grown up kids who saw the original film when it came out.
I mean, I saw the original film. I was a little bit old for it too, but I also worked with children and I really liked Roger Rabbit. So for me, this live action cartoon hybrid excited me on that level. I watched it not because I like basketball, but because I liked Who Framed Roger Rabbit. But yeah, the trailer looks very kid focused to me. I'm sure they put that in there as a Easter egg for adults, but yeah, that is an odd choice.
Yeah. I mean, you could argue that it's like the Looney Tunes cartoons where some of the humor was aimed at kids and some of the humor would go right over kids' heads, but adults would get it. You could argue that, but these aren't jokes. It's visual references, which is different. And I will go to my grave arguing that you cannot tell me that putting in a visual reference is a joke, no matter what you say, Family Guy.
No, I agree with you that putting in a visual reference is not necessarily a joke, but maybe it's enough to distract the parents from realizing what minute mark it is in a children's movie.
Well, speaking of minute marks, we should probably go to break. And when we come back, we're going to have a little conversation about how we can both be grouchy pants about weird stuff in movies because we're human. But first, let's take a quick break.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does the hard parts for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billings, scheduling, and more. With a home management team that provides support before, during, and after your stay, so you can focus on the relaxing, hosting, and making memories with family and friends. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. With Picasso, you can stop saying someday and start building family traditions today in a vacation home you own and revisit time after time. Visit Picasso.com today to see thousands of luxury vacation home listings. That's Pacaso.com.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
So we're back. And as Jonathan said, we're going to talk about some stuff that makes us grumpy pants or stuff that we've both looked at each other and said, huh, that's inconsistent in your likes. Based on the fact that this weekend, Jonathan watched Invincible and I watched Godzilla versus Kong. Mm-hmm. And from that, we both surprised each other with some stuff that normally I would say Jonathan would like that he didn't, and probably that he would think that I would like that I probably would not.
Yeah. In other words, like things yes. that we find as a hang up in our enjoyment mm-hmm. of something. And it's not necessarily always easy to express. So the example that started this whole thing off was that, I have not watched any of the MonsterVerse movies. So mm-hmm. I hadn't watched Kong of Skull Island. I hadn't watched, Godzilla, King of All the Monsters, whatever, any of those. And so when I started seeing reviews that actually gave some details about the plot of Godzilla versus Kong, which I still have not seen, I saw that I didn't realize that the movies had incorporated a Hollow Earth storyline part. Like I didn't know that Hollow Earth was part of it. And finding that out immediately turned me off of all of those movies. The reason being, I the Hollow Earth theory is such a dumb thing in real life. I mean, not that these movies are trying to represent real life, but such a dumb thing in real life that real people have have subscribed to, along with things like the Flat Earth Society, which is equally dumb. That it immediately turned me off because I'm just like, I spend my time often fighting against misinformation and mm-hmm. trying to promote skepticism and critical thinking. And it's so hard for me to get past that, even though I acknowledge this is a movie. It's a movie about giant monsters fighting each other. I have no problem with a Godzilla versus an enormous monkey, sorry, ape, fighting each other and destroying cities. All of that I can totally buy. Suddenly Hollow Earth, boom, I'm out. And it's weird.
It is weird. It surprised me because I was like, well, surely Jonathan likes Journey to the Center of the Earth, but apparently not.
Do not like.
But to me, I'm like, it's so, and I actually enjoyed the movie. Did I think that it could have a better plot? Possibly. There were bits that just didn't really matter to me. There are other bits that I really liked, but I could not write something better. So I still enjoyed it. But to me, it just was honestly a little surprising that anybody believes that Hollow Earth, and probably not the Hollow Earth that Godzilla versus Kong was talking about,
no.
exists. Because, that's their... The movie is saying that's Godzilla and Kong's origin. That's where they came from.
Right,
that's where all
right.
these titans came from. That it was just surprising to me that it had any real life parallels. And I'll say, like, for me, I like monster movies. I like big fight monster movies, despite the fact that I don't like animal movies. And I would consider Godzilla and King Kong both animals because I get very anxious about whether those animals are going to be okay. And I don't like big CGI and boss battles in my superhero movies, but I really like Godzilla versus Kong.
Yeah. I also I don't really connect with big monster movies like that, with a couple of exceptions, which tend to be the outliers anyway. Like, I actually don't think I've liked any King Kong film except for the original King Kong, which I appreciate on kind of an academic level, but it's hard for, like, I don't lose myself in the movie, but from an academic level, I appreciate it. The only monster movie I can think of, giant monster movie that, well, two of them, and one of them kind of isn't a giant monster movie, but Cloverfield, the first Cloverfield, I kind of dug because it was just a different take on that. It was very human centric without the humans feeling like they were a distraction. It was about the humans within that world. And the second one was it Colossal? The movie about the woman who turns out she controls a giant monster in Korea whenever she gets blackout drunk, apparently, or not just then, but typically then.
It was Anne Hathaway. Yes. Yeah, Colossal was the name of it.
Colossal, which is another subversion of the genre. I didn't think I was going to like that movie. And then I watched it and I thought, wow, this is a really good film that is not what you think it's about. But yeah, otherwise I just don't connect to them. So that was kind of like, ultimately it wouldn't have been surprising if I didn't really care for Godzilla versus Kong, simply because it's not really my jam. That's just not where my geekdom falls typically. So.
Well, and like, I had interest in Invincible. I knew it was going to be violent, but you said that it was exceptionally graphically gory.
Oh yeah. No. Okay. So we've talked about Invincible on previous episodes. The first episode, it's kind of superhero violence level of violence, and like teenager getting their butt handed to them in high school before discovering their superpowers. Violence is in there too. But yeah, every episode has a little sequence that happens after the initial credits pop up. And the one for episode one is critically important for the entire series. So you have to watch it, but it's also possibly the goriest animation I have seen outside of Japanese animation ever. And it is like excruciatingly detailed in its gore. You could argue it's still cartoony, but it's disturbing. So that would not be Ariel's jam, because as much as she loves superheroes, she also really doesn't care for gore.
I don't care for gore. And it's interesting because, like, I do watch MMA occasionally, but the moment that they're like, I can only watch somebody's jaw get punched so many times before I have to look away because I'm afraid I'm going to see that gore. Now, that's real people, not a cartoon.
Yeah.
But
you don't want to see eyeballs pop out of their sockets, do you?
No.
Okay. Well,
no, I have, but I don't particularly enjoy
then
it.
Then you don't want to watch Invincible episode one, because spoiler alert, that definitely happens.
But apparently I need to if I want to watch the rest of the series. But I'm curious, Jonathan, because you don't like these stories where you don't like big monster movies, exception of Cloverfield. But I would say that I would imagine that you would like, this is like two-parter, I would imagine that you would like space invasion movies or space alien fighting movies. Like, do you like Independence Day or Ender's Game or anything like that?
I don't like Independence Day or Ender's Game, but I do like The Last Starfighter. So like, it, again, it depends on the tone of the film. It depends on the characters. Edge of Tomorrow, I like that a lot. Live, Die, Repeat is also the other name for that, the Tom Cruise film, which surprised me because I don't really care for Tom Cruise that much, but I really like that movie.
It was really good.
Yeah. So good. there are versions, but like, you know, just like with any genre, there are ones that you would consider to be good and ones that you consider to not be good. And this isn't me saying that, you know, Independence Day is bad, although it is. And it's not me saying that Ender's Game is bad. I haven't seen it. It's just a preference thing, right? So I remember when we had our discussion, you also pointed out, like, I hate the idea of a movie that would present flat Earth as being a real thing. And you brought up Discworld, and I said, waha, but that Discworld is not Earth. Discworld is a different world, and it's in a fantasy setting, and it's okay there.
Okay, but what about, like, Arthurian legend? That's set on Earth in a real time, and you being a skeptic, I'm not sure if you believe in things as fairies, but there are people who do.
This is an interesting point. I think of it as a fairy tale, and I see, this is interesting because I can't even.
This is why I wanted to have this conversation.
I can't even explain it because I'm okay with that. And I'm okay with things like, one of my favorite horror movies of all time is The Witch, or The Vavitch, if you prefer. And there are people who believe in witches. I have friends who, I mean, they're not like witches in The Witch, but friends who are Wiccan, right? Who talk about witchcraft and witchy stuff. They use a different term than stuff, but I can get past that too, even being a skeptic and a critical thinker and all this kind of stuff. I can get past that as well. And I can't explain it. Maybe, I mean, I can't. I don't know why there's a block. There just is. It's one of those things where when I encounter it, it's frustrating for me to even talk about, simply because I don't even have the language to convey why, right? It just is. Mm-hmm.
That is interesting. I was just curious. I think it's really interesting. You know, there are also, like, I am a skeptic on certain things, but I'm also a person of faith. And there are certain stories where I can watch it and be like, well, that's just it's just a story. You know, it doesn't matter if it veers from what I believe, because it's just a story and stories are made up. But there are certain things, that I couldn't tell you why certain things press my buttons and other things don't. But I do think it's really interesting to look at. And I thought specifically the one about fictional stuff that some people believe and where that line is was something fun to explore.
Yeah.
We've had fun exploring.
Yeah, it's odd. It'll probably be something that I revisit in therapy. So thanks for that. Another thing to talk about. No, I'm just teasing. Well, we're going to take another break, and I'm sure this is going to be a topic that we'll dive into more, especially if you folks out there have things to say about it. But when we come back, we're going to do our mashup, which was inspired by that trailer for the sequel to Space Jam. But you'll find out more when we come back after this break.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does the hard parts for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. With a home management team that provides support before, during, and after your stay, so you can focus on the relaxing, hosting, and making memories with family and friends. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. With Picasso, you can stop saying someday and start building family traditions today in a vacation home you own and revisit time after time. Visit Picasso.com today to see thousands of luxury vacation home listings. That's Pacaso.com.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
So we have a slightly different mashup this week than we normally would. My pitch to Ariel was that, you know, Space Jam combines the Looney Tunes characters with basketball. So I thought it'd be fun to combine some other group of cartoon characters with some other sport and talk about the movie that comes out because of that. And we didn't really want to pick Looney Tunes and we didn't want to pick basketball. We wanted to pick two different things and say, what is that version that is akin to Space Jam? Ariel, would you want me to go first or would you prefer to go first?
I can go first. I will say that I'm sorry, everybody. So I decided to do a direct sequel to Space Jam.
Okay.
So dealing with the same aliens, but a different sport. And a different cartoon group. And the cartoon group I picked, so if you're not familiar with the original Space Jam, there's this alien guy, Mr. Swackhammer, and his attraction park, Moran Mountain, is failing. And so he wants to get the Looney Tunes as an attraction, and he sends some minions to Earth to get them. And then the Looney Tunes say, hey, you guys are tiny, so we'll go if you can beat us in basketball. But then the minions steal basketball players' powers, and so the Looney Tunes get Michael Jordan to help them, and it's a big ordeal, and it's funny.
It's like winner take all. Winner gets to leave the prison dimension, and
yes.
Spoiler alert, the Looney Tunes win.
Yes, but then, you know, the minions get freed from Mr. Swackhammer in the end. And then the cartoon I picked was the Flintstones, because I figured after his run-in with the Looney Tunes, he might go for some lower hanging fruit. And the Flintstones are about a prehistoric family and their friends who have prehistoric modern conveniences. And then
they're a
modern Stone Age family. Yes. And then my sport was curling. Because I thought that the Flintstones and the curling would be good. Curling.
Ariel, what is curling?
I was just about to say that. Curling is when it's an ice sport. It's like the relaxing version of hockey, maybe? No, not even that. It's ice shuffleboard, basically. So you have this stone called a rock. It's like a giant puck. And someone pushes it down this lane and tries to get it into a target. And everybody else on the team has brooms that are called brushes. They're ice brooms. They're called brushes. And they brush the ice in front of the stone to try to get the ice to melt and veer the stone to land directly in the center of the target. So it's also a little bit like darts. I love it. I actually really enjoy curling. I really enjoy hockey. I couldn't tell you any of the people who play it, but I enjoy the sport. But the game can take like 3 hours because you're just throwing a rock down some ice and then brushing the ice and trying to get the ice to melt to get the rock into the target. So that's what curling is. So you guys are in for a slow, slippery ride. So this is Space Jam 3, Mr. Swackhammer's Revenge. Mr. Swackhammer is at it again, having lost his star attraction and his minions, he is at a loss for how to keep his park, Moron Mountain, afloat. I mean, briefly, the infamy of his Monstars versus the Looney Tunes brought some people in, but that was short-lived. And his interim employee, Gazoo, just didn't fall in line and he had to get rid of him. Mr. Swackhammer had just finished up his free trial of HBO Max to try to keep tabs on the Looney Tunes, which is how he learned about the Flintstones. They were the perfect new attraction idea. They weren't too up-to-date on modern technology, so they shouldn't be able to fight back. They were mostly out of work. They were outdated enough that Earth wouldn't care, but just still relevant to bring in some space tourists. Surely they would be easy to dupe into coming back with him and putting in long underpaid hours of work at Moron Mountain. So Mr. Swackhammer packed up and went to Earth back in time and found Fred and Barney at the Water Buffalo's Lodge. Swackhammer quickly convinced them to pack up their families and travel to space in the future with him, with a bunch of empty promises on how they had risen to immense fame and fortune and would be treated like stars. Barney and Fred went home and apprised their wives and kids of the news, but Betty and Wilma, being the smarter of the couples, decided to talk to their only other alien they had ever met, the Great Gazoo, who had been banished to Earth in the Stone Age. And they wanted to get his whole take on the thing. And that's when they found out all about Mr. Swackhammer. You see, the Great Gazoo was actually a former employee at Moron Mountain and was banished to Earth by Mr. Swackhammer in an attempt to not pay the Great Gazoo's severance when he was let go. It was a low-down, dirty trick, and the Gazoo was certain that whisking the Flintstones and Rebels away to the future was a low-down, dirty trick, too. Knowing of the former run-in with the Looney Tunes, the Great Gazoo figured out the Flintstones could get out of their gentleman's agreement with Mr. Swackhammer by doing something similar. They should challenge Mr. Swackhammer to a sport, and without his nerdlucks, Mr. Swackhammer's minions, Mr. Swackhammer would be out of luck. Fred and Barney and family went to confront Mr. S and challenged him to their new favorite sport, curling. It was all the rage. Mr. Swackhammer agreed on the condition that he could call in his own team, and the match was on. Unfortunately, Mr. Swackhammer misheard the name of the sport and thought it was Curly, and ended up abducting Weird Al Yankovic, Carrot Top, and Curly from the Three Stooges for his team. Because they all have curly hair. The day of the match arrived and everyone showed up on the ice. But of course, since Mr. Swackhammer misheard the challenge, none of his players were prepared. While Bam Bam was tossing the rock flawlessly down the curling sheet with Pebbles and Dino manning the brushes, getting point after point, Weird Al was lost in thought trying to figure out a parody song about the whole ordeal, and Carrot Top kept trying to pick up the stone for prop comedy. Curly, it turns out, was really good at curling and was able to keep the game tied until it came time to throw the hammer, the last rock, when he slipped and fell, knocking himself out with a rock. After an excruciating 3 hours, the Flintstones had won the match, the minor celebrities were sent back to their times, and the Great Gazoo took Mr. Swackhammer's ship back to Moron Mountain to become the new CEO, leaving Mr. Swackhammer to live in the Stone Age, working at the rock quarries forever.
Amazing. Amazing. All right. Well, I have never seen Space Jam, so I created my mashup based on the very limited, almost free of context understanding I had. And so the combination I chose were the Snorks and Snooker. So it's called Snorker.
I'm looking forward to it.
But let me explain what these are for people who may not know. The Snorks were a cartoon series from the mid-1980s, and they were created essentially to compete against the Smurfs. The producer who had brought the Smurfs to television was having these financial disputes with the artist who originally created the Smurfs, and he was left thinking, man, I sure would love to have a cartoon product that doesn't go back to someone else's intellectual property so that I could keep all the monies. And so we get the Snorks, which are essentially underwater Smurfs that have a little snorkel popping out of the top of their head. So the Snorks are very similar to the Smurfs, except that there's no Gargamel-type villain. The villains in the Snorks are usually other villainous Snorks or magical seaweed or stuff like that. But anyway, that's all you really need to know. Then, Snooker. It's kind of similar to billiards. So it's played on a table. It's larger than a pool table. It's got a table with six pockets. There's a cue ball. And then there are 21 other balls of various colors. Most of them are red. And generally speaking, the way you play is on your turn, you try to sink or pot a red ball. And then you choose one of the other colors to sink And that determines how many points you get for that play if you do sink that ball. You keep going till all the red balls are gone, and there's a lot more to it, but trust me, I was in England and I watched about 20 hours of this sport on TV and I still don't understand it. But I feel like I'm closer to it than cricket, so that's why I went with it. All right,
gotcha.
None of this is really going to matter for my mashup, by the way. All right, here we go. Okay. Snorker. The main character is All-Star Seaworthy, who was the main protagonist in The Snorks. All-Star Seaworthy has a problem. His uncle, Dr. Galio Seaworthy, has gone missing, and the resident mad scientist, Dr. Strange Snork, brother to Galio, seems pretty happy about it. All-Star tries to investigate his uncle's disappearance, but he keeps hitting roadblocks, or ocean blocks, or something. Anyway, Strange Snork is being awfully cocky about the whole thing. While seeking clues, All-Star comes across something really weird, a mysterious whirlpool that descends into a portal. He and his friends Dimmy and Casey, also Snorks, get caught up in the current, and while they make a valiant effort to escape, they're ultimately swallowed up by the portal, and they find themselves in outer space. Not our version of outer space, but the surface world, which the Snorks call outer space. However, they can breathe, and they look different, as if hand-drawn animation had somehow transformed into CGI characters. In this realm, they quickly encounter an odd person, who themselves calls themselves the Master of Ceremonies. This character is, of course, played by Tilda Swinton. The androgynous MC hints that Dr. Galio is nearby, but in order to see him, the three friends will have to enter into a tournament playing an odd game, snooker, and so begins Space Pot. Okay, well, that's a terrible name, but potting is what you call it when you sink a ball in snooker, and they're in outer space. So, okay, anyway,
sure.
They enter the tournament. And they go up against celebrity snooker players, real and animated, like Snoopy and Fufu the Snoo from Dr. Seuss. And of course, Snooki from the Jersey Shore. Also, there are other celebrity types there playing in the tournament, like Kevin Hart and Robert Downey Jr., Lin-Manuel Miranda, Gal Gadot, and Meryl Streep. Dimmy gets knocked out early despite his athletic skill. He gets too hyped up and disqualified. "That's a bad miss," says one of the commentators on the tournament. Casey lasts a bit longer, but ultimately is defeated by a mysterious, cloaked opponent. All-Star makes it to the top of his bracket, and thus faces off against the cloaked one in the final. And the cloaked one uncloaks, and it's professional snooker player Mark Selby, the jester from Leicester. The commentators are going wild, but pretty much all the celebrities and snorks are like, "Who's this guy?" Because they're all American. We don't know snooker players. The audience is probably the same way, unless they happen to be English and follow snooker. What follows is an incredibly competitive snooker match, with Selby playing extremely well, and it looks like All-Star will lose until Casey encourages him to set aside the cue stick and use his snorkel instead. He does so and pulls off an insane trick shot that helps him gain the upper hand, defeating Selby and dooming him to the great punishment, which we don't see, but it sounds really, really painful off screen. Having won the tournament, Tilda Swinton returns and rewards All-Star by bringing Dr. Galio to him. And it seems that Dr. Galio was studying the anomaly back under the ocean and determined that it was the work of Strange Snork before he was sucked into it. So the Snorks say their goodbyes, and they return to where they entered to the strange world. Dr. Galio is able to reverse the portal using some cool outer space technology, that is, surface world technology, and they return home. Galio seals the portal on the ocean side, then they all head to give Dr. Strange Snork a firm talking to. As Strange Snork is lectured at, All-Star heads off to build the first underwater snooker table. The end.
I really enjoyed that. I also learned that a lot of Hollywood is interested in snooker, apparently.
Well, in my movie, they are. You think Bill Murray is a basketball player? Come on.
You know, I would not put it past him.
He's a golfer.
Although he did say, like, being in the new Ghostbuster movies was very physically taxing. So maybe not. he was playing golf in Space Jam originally.
Oh, okay. Again, having not seen it, I'm just grasping at what little context I have from memes.
He and Michael Jordan and others were playing golf when Michael Jordan got sucked down a hole to help the Looney Tunes.
Gotcha. Well, that wraps up this episode of Large Nerdron Collider. Ariel, if people want to get in touch with us, perhaps to tell us about their weird geek hangups, or, you know, maybe they want to give us a mashup of a cartoon group of characters and a sport, how would they do that?
Well, the easiest way would be to email us at lnc@iheartmedia.com, or they could reach out to us on social media. On Twitter, we're lnc_podcast, and on Facebook and Instagram, we're Large Nerdron Collider.
Yep. You can also check out our webpage. That's largenerdroncollider.com. We have the episodes posted there, and we also post like show notes and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And if you like the show, make sure to subscribe and tell your friends, because the more people who listen and write in, the better geek conversations we have.
Agreed. And until next time, I have been Jonathan Snooker Strickland.
And I have been Ariel Curly Caston.
The Large Nerdron Collider is a production of iHeartRadio and was created by Ariel Caston. Jonathan Strickland is the executive producer. The show is produced, edited, and published by Tari Harrison. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.